Laura and I missed you very much, and it's a joy to be back together and share in the goodness of the Lord. This morning's reading is once more Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the terror of you shall be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground and all the flesh of this, all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And surely I will require your lifeblood. From every beast I will require it, and from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it." Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. And I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So reads the word of God. Genesis 9:12 through 15. And God said, "This is the covenant, the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." Amen. This morning, we will conclude our study of this passage of Scripture. We have done something different in terms of joining together in an extensive reading of various expert examinations of this central covenant of God with Noah and with you and with me. We finished last time with the realization that the rainbow is symbolic of the covenant of grace instituted by God with man through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful in complete trustworthiness of His promises to each one of us. We pick up at this point as we listen to Solomon's prayer, recorded in 1 Kings 8:22 through 25. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who art keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to thy servants who walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant, my father David, that which thou hast promised him. Indeed, thou hast spoken with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way to walk before me as you have walked. This eternal heir of David is Jesus Christ. He's the everlasting King upon the seat of God's dominion forever and forever. Because he is so trustworthy and so full of the graciousness of God toward us, we need to take to heart the effect of His Lordship in our lives. Warren W. Wiersbe spends much time instructing us with regard to this. Quote, If the rainbow reminds us of God's faithfulness and grace, then why do we fret and worry? God hasn't promised that we'll never experience storms, but He has promised that the storms won't destroy us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Isaiah 43:2. When the clouds appear and the sun is hidden, we have nothing to fear. Let's think about the bow. A bow is an instrument of war, but God has transformed it into a picture of His grace and faithfulness, a guarantee of peace. God could certainly turn the bow of judgment upon us because we've broken His law and deserve judgment. But He has turned the bow toward heaven and taken the punishment for us Himself. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the just one suffering for the unjust and bearing the suffering that rightfully belonged to us. End quote. 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also He went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Wiersbe continues in his consideration of the rainbow as follows. Quote, Rainbows are universal. You see them all over the world. God's many-colored grace is sufficient for the whole world, and needs to be announced to the whole world. After all, God loves the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Christ died for the sins of the world. 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 14, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But the rainbow isn't only for us to see. For the Lord said, I will look upon it. Genesis 9:16. Certainly God doesn't forget His covenants with His people. But this is just another way of assuring us that we don't need to be afraid. When we look at the rainbow, we know that our Father is also looking at the rainbow. And therefore, it becomes a bridge that brings us together. End quote. This calls to our attention one of the great attributes ascribed to God in the giving of this symbol of His grace and His mercy. The rainbow is seen as the bridge between heaven and earth, as Jesus Christ is the bridge between God and man. Both God and man look at the rainbow, and it brings to mind God's eternal work of faithfulness and glory and trustworthiness and mercy and loving kindness. Wiersbe continues with regard to three very distinct rainbows recorded in Scripture. Three men in Scripture saw significant rainbows. Noah saw the rainbow after the storm, just as God's people see it today. But the prophet Ezekiel saw the rainbow in the midst of the storm, when he had that remarkable vision of the wheels and the throne. Ezekiel 1:28. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Ezekiel also saw living creatures, and each one had four faces. One was like a man, one like a lion, one like an ox, and one like an eagle. The same faces John saw. Revelation 4:5-7. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was a flying eagle. Of course, the Apostle John saw the rainbow before the storm of judgment broke loose. In verse 3, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. In fact, John saw a complete rainbow around the throne of God. On earth, we see in part. But one day in heaven, we will see things fully as they are. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. The personal lesson for God's people is simply this. In the storms of life, always look for the rainbow of God's covenant promise. Like John, you may see the rainbow before the storm. Like Ezekiel, you may see it in the midst of the storm. Or like Noah, you may have to wait until after the storm. But you will always see the rainbow of God's promise if you look by faith. That's the Old Testament version of Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's covenant with creation affects every living creature on earth. Without it, there would be no assured continuity of nature from day to day and season to season. We would never know when the next storm was coming and whether it would be our last. God wants us to enjoy the blessing of natural life and spiritual life. Because He gives to us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. When you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the world of nature around you becomes much more wonderful because the Creator has become your Father. End quote. In terms of our relationship to God as our Heavenly Father, we learn to more fully love and appreciate Him as He works in our lives through the storms and the gales in order to instill His loving kindness seen and experienced in the midst of the trials and the dilemmas. E.B. Eliot writes the following, quote, "Further, not only is the rainbow, as offspring equally of storm and sunshine, a fitting emblem of covenant of grace, it is also type of that equally distinctive peculiarity of Christ's gospel, that sorrow and suffering have their appointed sphere of exercise, both generally in the providential administration of the world and individually in the growth and development of personal holiness. Other religions have enforced lessons of patience and of submission beneath the pressure of irremediable ill. It is the gospel of Christ Jesus alone which converts sorrow and suffering into instruments for the attainment of higher and more enduring blessings. In all God's dealings with His people, when He brings a cloud upon the earth, He sets His bow in that cloud, insomuch that they cease to fear when they enter into it, by reason of the presence of Him whose glory inhabits it." Isaiah 54:9-10. "For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Here we seem to find the explanation which is needed of the close and inseparable connection between the cloud and the rainbow, i.e., between judgment and mercy. Between the darkness of the one and the brightness of the other. In the person and work of the atoning mediator, we find the only solution of that marvelous combination of judgment and mercy, which is the distinctive characteristic of the whole divine economy. as the rainbow spans the vault of the sky and becomes a link between earth and heaven, so in the person and work of Christ is beheld the unchangeableness and perpetuity of the covenant of grace, which, like Jacob's ladder, maintains the communication between earth and heaven, and thus, by bringing God very near to man, ushers man into the presence chamber of God. End quote. F.W. Brown is the final commentator to whom we will hearken in this study of the rainbow of God's covenant. He highlights the manner in which the rainbow perfectly presents the beauty of the handiwork of God's grace in our lives on a day-to-day basis. He makes three distinct points concerning it, which we should very definitely take to heart as we ponder God's so great grace in our lives. Quote 1, God does not display the bow upon a blue and cloudless sky, but when there are clouds and there is rain. The bow does not remove the clouds, but beautifies and illumines them. So the promises of God do not remove, but beautify and illumine the darkness and mysteries of earth. The cloud of guilt is arched with the bow of pardon. The cloud of sorrow has the promise of support and relief. For bereavement, there shall be reunion. For cross-bearing, crown-wearing. For conflict, victory. For labor, rest. For pilgrimage, home. The cloud of mystery has the bow of providence arching it. The cloud of death has the bow of hope. Second, the bow can only be seen when the sun is shining. So the promises of God, which arch the clouds of sin, sorrow, death, are produced by the light of the benign countenance of God, who is a sun and shield, and gives both grace and glory. And third, the bow can only be seen when the beholder looks up. End quote. We should never expect God to give us only blue skies and temperate weather. His grace can only be understood and appreciated in relation to the manner in which it overcomes and is contrasted by the storms and by the need for His overarching love and mercy. Without the need for God's intervention in our lives, we would never understand just how much His grace abounds to us. And finally, we can only see the rainbow of God's love if we choose to look up. It takes a conscious effort to see and to recognize and to appropriate the great compassion that God holds forth unto each of us, each moment of every day. Lord willing, this has not just been a casual reading of these various authorities, but a time in which we each have received some enlightenment as to the full course of God's grace represented in the rainbow of God's promise to Noah and to us. Let us ever rejoice in the faithfulness of God's love as we together search out and learn to appreciate each rainbow of Christ's love in our day-to-day walk with Him. So be it. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." Amen.